I'd like to make this statement tonight. We have come through the confusing waters of the 60s. They are historic. The first and second year of the 70s are now, of course, past, and we're coming to the end of 1973. No one can feel impersonal about all of these things. No decade in the past is producing so much good in one way and so much bad in another way. The return of the space lab men just recently made great happenings before our eyes in this decade. One of mankind's greatest achievements is happening before our eyes. This ornaments this significant period. But before this decade of the 70s are closed, I believe this with all of my heart, it's very likely that the Lord will come for His church. I believe that also with all of my heart. We are now confronted with the dilemma, and may I say the dilemma of the dress code in private and in public, and modesty is thrown out the window of modernism. Hallelujah. We also might recognize tonight that we are saturated with the agonies and the ecstasies of the current political administration. The unfolding of the Watergate story either abuses or benefits by multimillion dollars. There are troubles around us everywhere that's being spent to explain it to it all, explain it to every one of us tonight. We are a little awed at the proportion, and may I say we are awed at this tonight, of this dispensation of sex and its permissiveness. And too often we're seeing the ignited emotion of men and nations and the eclipsing of female vanity by her male counterpart, as men and women are undistinguishable because of the permissive society in which we now live. The continuing world must not be possible without our important commodities of man and woman, boy and girl, that's filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are not afraid to say, "I love Jesus" in this hour. I'd also like to quote this tonight. On the larger scale, we are faced with the Laodicean church age and dispensation. When we say, "I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing," and exceedingly snug and smug society with its own peculiar Laodicean smile is what's transpiring before our eyes. If I were to call this message tonight something, I would name it this: this peculiar Laodicean smile. That smile that really doesn't mean anything. That smile that's simply a grin on the face of modern religious apathy, that says, "I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of nothing." But God said, "I want you to know that you're miserable and poor and wretched and naked and blind before me." And we need tonight, hallelujah, not one of us, whether we're in the pulpit or in the pew, we are giving ourselves credit for the most part for what we do not possess. And I believe we ought to possess what we preach. I believe we ought to possess what we believe. I believe we ought to possess tonight the things that God would have us to possess in this hour. It's so easy to be patient when there is no worry, when there is no peril, when there is, it's easy to be brave, when there is no whirligig of time to bring its revenges upon us. We discover more exactly what we own. And I want you to know, friends, that the value of an army, to see it, I must wait until the campaign has tested it. I can't look at it and say it's all right when they're standing in line and one of the generals come by and observe it. Wait till the army is tested on the battlefield, and you'll be able to determine the quality and the value of those that stand there at attention. And I believe tonight that this is not an age to stand at attention. This is an age to be engaged in the battle with this snug Laodicean smile that graces our religious system in our times. But oh, I love Jesus tonight. I appreciate Him tonight. I love Him with all of my heart tonight. Praise God, and I want you to notice something else, that we had better be able to reach out here and make some inroads upon the religious system of our world, because I had this article just the other day about child alcoholism. It's a problem most people would like to ignore, but there may be nearly 500,000 teenager alcoholic addicts in America. One expert says, and it's not uncommon to see severe alcoholism problems in kids that are 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 years old. And as a result, in many communities, they have started junior AA projects. That's what the world is doing tonight. We're baffled and we're wounded until we realize that there is a discipline necessary and there is a promise made in the Word of God that tells us where we're going. And I believe I know where I'm going tonight by the grace of the living God. This was the case in the case of Solomon when that Laodicean church smile, that simple smile of Laodicea, just simply said, "We don't need you. We don't care anything about you. We'll smile and go on our way. But know ye not that you're wretched and poor, miserable and blind and naked." But here was one of those promises, praise God, when Solomon recognized that the promise was made to his father David. Here are some of the things that he was plagued with. And I want you to notice tonight, hallelujah, I'm feeling mighty good. Feeling the Spirit of the Lord right now. Hallelujah. I want you to notice here in the 26th verse and the 27th verse where the Bible says when the heavens is shut up, he talked about the value of the church. He talked about the value of the glory of that church. And he said when the heavens is shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sins, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sins of thy servants and of thy people Israel, when they have taught them the good way wherein they should walk, and send rain upon the land which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance, and if there be dearth in the land. Now, why would Solomon be praying this kind of prayer? Why would he, a man that was familiar with royalty, be praying this kind of prayer when he talks about a dearth in the land, or a pestilence in the land, or blastings in the land, or locusts in the land, or caterpillars in the land, or all of these various things in the land? How could he be identified with all of these things? I'll show you tonight, if I may, because I feel like tonight that this is an age when we need to be preaching like we never preached before. In the greatest single need of our hour is the preaching, hallelujah, and the interpretation of the nature and purpose of Jesus Christ for a blundering age. Who are those that can preach the gospel of redemption unashamedly to bring hope to a frustrated, cynical world? Mankind wants to be redeemed from secularism and formalism and hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Yeah. We don't need an age of intellectualism. We need an age of Pentecostal power. We need an age where the Laodicean church smile will be wiped off of their face. Hallelujah. And let them know that while they may say they are rich and increased with goods, say they have need of nothing. Let them know tonight that we Pentecostals are coming uptown. Hallelujah. Yeah. That we're walking down Main Street. Yeah. That we have the banner of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. We have something unashamedly to declare, and that is the name and the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And fire that moves men and directs men and strengthens men. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will you say praise the Lord? Yeah. I would like to wipe that Laodicean smile off of their face tonight. Will you say amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Not to the church world, friends. Not to the world out there that don't know any better. But I'd like to see God reach down with a big old napkin from heaven and wipe that Laodicean smile right off of us. Pentecostals face. Hallelujah. We don't need the Laodicean spirit. We need to say, God, you that have promised us something, you're able to perform it. You're able to keep it. Hallelujah. We don't need any of our children in our church having to go to AA. Hallelujah. We don't need any of the children of our church. Oh, my. Hallelujah. To have to go be rehabilitated for something. When if we had what they had at Philadelphia Church, when he said, you haven't denied my name, we would have something around these altars that will move children's hearts, that will move men's hearts, that will move men's minds, that will move men's thoughts. Praise God, God, reach down from heaven, wipe that Laodicean smile off of our face, hallelujah, and help us to go back to what it took to bring us in and preach it like we never preached it before, and let God be God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah. Will you say hallelujah? Let's say hallelujah. Right now I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I'm feeling His Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, if there be any of these things in the land, I want to show you what they were. There was dearth in the land. This means famine. Deficiency of food produced by failure of rains leading to the withholding of crops. But he said, God, when they're standing out there in the field and there's dirt in the land, let them look toward the house. Let them look toward these things. Solomon, what do you mean talking about dirt in the land? You've always sat down at a banqueting table. You've never been out among the people. You don't know what it means for dirt in the land. How can you pray this kind of prayer? But all, listen to me tonight. Praise the Lord. He had his eye on the promises of God. Yes, he did. And I wish more of us would get our eyes on the promises of God and let the Lord wipe that Laodicean smile off of our face. Hallelujah. Friends, we may have better pews, better carpets, better everything, but until we realize that we're wretched and poor and blind and naked without God's Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll be meaningless. It won't mean a thing. Chandeliers from the top down will not mean a thing if we're just not the Laodicean smart smile. Hallelujah! God, take it off of our face and take it out of our heart that we may have, oh, hallelujah, what the Spirit of God would have us to have and move like the Spirit wants us to move. Hallelujah! 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 Let's say hallelujah. If there be pestilence in the land, what's pestilence? Any sudden, fatal epidemic, noisome, or evil beast, or any annoying trouble. If there be any pestilence, hallelujah, let's look toward this house. And I said last night that the church and the pastor, wherever you are tonight, ought to be the most meaningful thing in your life. Praise the Lord. I still believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If there be blastings, the effects, blastings means the effects produced upon grain or other plants of the hot east winds which blow from the desert of Arabia, blow 2 or 3 days at a time, and the farmers dread that wind. When Solomon, at the time he was praying this prayer, but he said, if there be blastings, if they're coming from the East Arabian desert, blastings, he said, let them get a hold of what's in this house. Let them get a hold of what's in this house. For I'm going to take care of the blastings. I'm going to take care of the dirt. I'm going to take care of the pestilence. And if there be locusts, he named every one of them, one of the swarming species of insects that devastate the large regions of the country, bordering on the Mediterranean Sea and just go through like a lawnmower and devour the land. But he said, wait a minute, we have a God, hallelujah, yeah, that when it comes and when the storm comes and when the rains come and when everything comes and the lawnmower of blessings and locust comes and just go through the land, let us be able to look toward the house of the King and let us be able to anchor our faith once more in the thing that will take the Laodicean smile off of our face and get us back to an old-fashioned, born-again, Holy Ghost salvation that will stir a man when he's down, will lift him up when he needs help. He's going to move like he's never moved before and see something stirring in our midst today. Let's say praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. If there be caterpillars, called cankerworms, name giving to the larva stage of the locust, he said, God, I'll tell you one thing. Before that caterpillar ever gets out of the larva stage, stop it. Before it ever gets out of the larva stage, you've got your eye on it. Hallelujah. Because we're looking to a house where his name has been placed. We're looking to a house where his heart was. We're looking to a house where his eyes had been placed. And before that larva stage ever develops into a caterpillar, he said, stop it, Lord. When we look toward this house, oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Will you say amen tonight?
Amen.
Let's say amen.
Amen.
And he said, if there be a sore or an appearance of leprosy, the spot on the skin that's called by that name, like a stroke or a blow caused by a disease, he said, I want you to stop it. Praise God. Or if there be mildew or rust in the corn, it's due to a special fungus, paleness, especially in other plants also. He said, I want you to stop it because we've got our eye on the promise. Hallelujah. And before that larva ever wobbles and ever moves to get out of there to turn to a caterpillar, you've already got your hand on it to stop it. And friends, today, if we ever needed a Holy Ghost church, if we ever needed Holy Ghost saints, if we ever needed Holy Ghost preaching, if we ever needed Holy Ghost living, if we ever need Holy Ghost church attendance, if we ever need Holy Ghost tithing, we need it today. Hallelujah. Where the church can offer the young people something. Oh, hallelujah. Where God can be all in all. And take that Laodicean smile off of our face. Praise the Lord. Let's say praise the Lord. Oh, let's say praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 I'm feeling mighty good right now. Praise God, because let me turn to another scripture, if I may, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 5. Thus the work of Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, of the silver and of the gold and of the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Listen, let me show you something that I had not thought about before. In these treasures of the house of God were the gold and the silver objects of the father, King David. He had gathered for it, and the fortune may have included spoils taken in the war, as well as tributes from vassal states. The Israelitish kings usually kept storehouses of gold and silver for use in times of national emergency as a payment of tribute to the other kings and treasures, provisions at the temple of Ammon, and it was pictured in one of the tombs of Thebes where it was deposited. But let me show you, inside that temple, there were three sets of shelves. Notice this tonight, because I'm telling you something this evening, that as that old snug, smug Laodicean smile graces the religious system, I'm saying, God, bring us away from it. Hallelujah. Reach down and take that smile from our face and put a burden in our soul that we can go back into our churches Praise the Lord with new inspiration, with new joy, with new power. Praise God. Brother Bruce, when we used to shout and sing and praise the Lord together, he and I used to sing on the radio. And we'd sing, "He'll set your fields on fire." I told him a while ago, I said, we ought to sing that once more. Praise God. Hallelujah. God set us our fields on fire. Do something to us, Lord, to take that Laodicean and smile off of our face. Hallelujah. And let us get back, not simply to the old Rush Arbor days, but let's get back to the spirit that motivated it. Hallelujah. When there was mildew and blastings and storms and problems and all kinds of things, let us get back to where God will take it away, because He had a promise made and He promised them that He would do just exactly that.
Right.
Say hallelujah tonight. Hallelujah. Three sets of shelves inside that treasure house. On the top shelf, listen, there's three things you'll do when you come to God. You're going to be put on the top shelf and used of the Lord. Or you're going to be put on the second shelf and just set there. Or on the bottom or lower shelf, you're just simply going to deteriorate. Notice this. On the top shelf in that storehouse, in the first set were the precious stones. That's on the top. In rounded heaps, linen, incense, and spices in jars, rings of silver and gold, and ingots of copper. That's when they come in the temple and put it up on the top shelf. Now then, the second shelf was a little bit lower in value. There was ostrich feathers, leather shields, ivory tusk, silver, gold dust, and rings of gold on the second shelf. But on the third shelf, or the lower shelf, in the temple, there was baskets of grapes, sandals, woven materials, and sacks of fruits, and jars of wine was on the lower shelf. That meant that every day the priest had to come in there and use that one which was on the bottom shelf. Because if he didn't, it would deteriorate. You can't leave a bushel of apples sitting around very long. You can't leave grapes sitting around very long. And I believe this is the time when more of the saints ought to be used in the church and ought to be doing something for God. Hallelujah. Rather than letting that Laodicean smile, that snug and smug smile of Laodicea, grip our face and cause our simple smile and go around and say we're doing all right. At our church, we're doing just fine. What did you have yesterday? We didn't have very much, but everything's all right. It's just a Laodicean smile. That's all it is, friends. And he said, I want you to get some eye salve, and I want you to get your eyes ready and anoint them, hallelujah, that you can see yourself as you really are. I feel like preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. I feel that we ought to recognize tonight that we're going to be used of the Lord, or we're going to be put on the shelf, or we're going to deteriorate. Hallelujah. I want to be used of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, let me take you to another scripture. Praise the Lord. There was a place in that temple. This is the part I want you to notice. There was a place in that temple for the singers. In the 26th verse of 1 Chronicles, chapter 9, the Bible says these words. And I want you to notice it tonight. For we are in need this evening. Hallelujah. Not simply of being put on the shelf. Not being placed on the shelf unless it's on the top one. Where it's the precious stones and the gold and the silver. Amen. Not on the third shelf, for there's baskets of grapes, sandals, woven materials, and sacks of fruit. But listen to this. For these Levites, the four chief porters, were in their set office and were over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. And they lodged round about the house of God because the charge was upon them, and the opening thereof every morning pertained to them. Listen to me tonight. If I may divert here to say a word to all of our ministers and all the friends, praise the Lord, and they lodged round about the house of God because the charge was upon them, and the opening thereof every morning pertained to them. They closed those doors at night, and they opened them up every morning. And the Levites had to be there to open the door. Amen. And I believe that we ought to be leading the way, brethren, to open the door to God's blessing to the church. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read the rest of it. And certain of them had charge of the ministering vessels, that they should bring them in and out by tail. Some of them also were appointed to oversee the vessels and all the instruments of the sanctuary, and the fine flour, and the wine, and the oil, and the frankincense, and the spice. And some of the sons of the priests made the ointment of the spices. And Matanahah, one of the Levites, who was of the firstborn of Shalom, the Kohathite, had set office over these things that were made in pans. And other of their brethren of the sons of the Kohathites were over the shewbread to prepare it every Sabbath. And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who, remaining in the chambers, were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. Listen, here's a point I want you to notice. That temple had in it everything they needed on the outside. It had spices, it had produce, it had everything. But when the priesthood started, it was 30 years old. When it ended, he was 50 years old. But you know what that old priest did? He stayed in that temple all night long. And he sung. He really began to sing. Hallelujah. He would go around and kick around in the wheat pile. Hallelujah. Say, thank the Lord God of Israel. Lord, how they brought the tithes in. The old priest was on the inside of that temple singing all night long. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All night long you could hear them. I'd like to step up close to the door and hear them. I could almost hear one of those old priests in his first hymn, verse 12, over the years. He said, the produce is in here. Everything is in here you need. We've been singing all night long, guys. We've been praising the Lord all night long. Oh, hallelujah. That's where the faith came from when David was said, who gives me songs in the night? Hallelujah. Why can't we sing, friends, in life's darkest hour and in life's darkest moment? Oh, hallelujah. I believe there's something in the tabernacle. I believe there's something in the temple. I believe there's something in the name. I believe there's something in the God we serve. I believe there's something, hallelujah, that we ought to be singing about.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
Let's say glory.
Glory.
All night long they began to sing. Sing. Bless the Lord God of Israel. Chanting all night. Singing. Worshiping. Because there's been no pestilence bother that produce. Been no caterpillar come out there and go at. God stopped him before he ever got out of the larva stage. Kick your feet in that sand, in that pile of wheat, and say, you never get too old, friend, to sing unto the Lord. You never get too old to retire out of the kingdom. Just kick the feet around a little bit in the produce that's been brought in. Hallelujah. And sing all night long. Hallelujah. Singing. Lord, the priest was walking around all night long. Hallelujah. Somebody's bound to say hallelujah. Somebody stand up and say praise the Lord right now. Say praise the Lord again. Hallelujah. You know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to kick our feet around in God's sweet fire. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Here they come in with the land, wagon after wagon, bringing it into the temple. So there will be peace in my heart.
3, 4, 5. I caught a hare alive. 7, 8, 9, 10. I let him go again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I caught a hare alive. 7, 8, 9, 10. I let him go again.
Thank you.
over. You know why? We got to lay off the in-church smile on our face.
Doing all right.
Trying to get it off that way, it won't work. Here comes another one. Here comes another one. Got blastings. Look at my arm. Stood out there in that wind as it come across the Mediterranean Sea and tried to hold and protect the corn. But God said, I'll hold the wind. I'll hold the wind. You hold to the church, I'll hold the wind. You hold to the church, I'll take care of the caterpillar. You hold to the church, I'll take care of the sore on your leg. You hold on to the church and look at it, and I'll take care of the blastings. You hold on to the church, and I'll take care of the mildew. You know what mildew is? Kind of old damp basement. You pick up something, I can pick up a shirt. We're going to move. I picked up a shirt the other day to put on to help them move, and it's mildew. Oh, my Lord. Can that be possible in modern times? Pick that thing up, little black spots all over it, and an odor. He said, you hold on to the church, I'll take care of the mildew. I won't let it even bother your cornfield. I won't let it bother anything. I'll stop the caterpillar before it gets out of the larva stage. And you priest, you stay in there with your feet in that weed.
Don't let me call it a trap. Give it a try.
Don't you know? Don't you know?
Hallelujah!
Don't you know God was at it?
Hallelujah.
Don't you know that God, Heavenly Father, was listening to that?
Yes.
Hear it again, folks. That's what I'm having to think about it.
Of God, because the charge was upon them and the opening thereof every morning pertained to them. Let me read you a list of singers. You don't believe they were singing unto God? The Bible says in the 7th chapter of 1 Chronicles, and if you'll notice here, let me find it right quick. You'll notice here, praise God, a list of all of these singers. Here is in the 6th chapter of 1 Chronicles and the 31st verse. And these are they whom David set over the service of song in the house of the Lord after that the ark had rest. No use to do any singing without the Holy Ghost. No use to do any singing without it. And they ministered before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of the congregation with singing until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And then they waited on their office according to their order. And these are they that waited with the children. And blank, 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 all the way down to the 48th verse. Here was the group. Hallelujah.
These old prophets, thank God, after 50 years old, from 30 to 50, they could work, they could open the doors, but from 30 after 50 years, they had to cease the activity of the priesthood and walk around in the thing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Their feet in the wheat and say, thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Stand out here, right on the outside. Amen. And these two dear prophets, they preach, brother. Hallelujah. Walking around.
Hallelujah.
Amen. By 2 o'clock in the morning,
hallelujah,
looking around, that will be there tomorrow. And don't you know that we can see them on the outside tomorrow? And because we obey the Lord,
amen.
All your tasks and your honors, and the hand of God is full. It's been run over. The bins are running over. Hallelujah. But here's two young priests who have started opening those big, huge doors because if they didn't open them, these brothers couldn't have any blessings. If they didn't do what they needed to do, they couldn't do nothing either.
Yes, right.
Hallelujah. So when the morning comes, by 6 o'clock, I can see these two brothers, these two young Levites, that's just starting to preach to us. Hallelujah. Yes. Say, well, what do you think? Pray God to see all that produce shaking hands for one another. See all that produce that they brought in there yesterday? Can you still hear anything on the inside? Are the priests still singing? Are they still singing?
Back there, folks. Give that note again. Give him that note. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for it right now. Glory. Amen. In verse 26 of 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Amen. Read in 1 Chronicles chapter 9. Sing, brothers. Just sing. Just sing. That's the way. That's all right. You wasn't expecting that kind of song. Amen. But they didn't worry about tunes. They didn't worry about notes. They didn't worry about practicing. Hallelujah. They just went around and said, thank the Lord God of Israel. Thank the Lord God of Israel. He's brought us in some produce. He's brought us in something. And listen to what this says.
Come on. The four chief porters.
We're in their set office.
And he said, you've got to open it.
everything.
Some serve, some have charge.
The ministry vessels.
The ministry vessels.
They should bring them in.
To bring them in.
And out the tail.
And out the tail. In other words, they just brought in and turn around like a right in and right out. Fill it up.
Right.
Praise God. Come on, Brother Brown. Come on, Brother right here. Just run here too.
Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let these folks stand out here. And these brothers wouldn't open the door for them.
Yeah.
Come on, rattle that thing out of there.
Oh,
God. Oh, let me tell you, friend, the world is knocking on the door of the church
today.
We're too worried about the problems on the inside of the church.
Yeah.
And we forgot all about the problems on the outside. We don't need to have no junior, hey, hey.
Oh, look.
Here we are, 5 million boys and girls that are alcoholics tonight because nobody opened the door.
Set office over the things that were made in pans.
All right, come on.
And others were the brethren.
Come on.
The
set office over things that were made in pans. All
right.
Come on in.
And the sons.
Say good morning, brother.
Good morning.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yes. My Lord. All that men would put for his wonderful work.
If you can hit that with some, you can hit that one part. Here it says.